GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Jim Lebreck, CMS. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Garrett Martin of the Maine Center for Economic Policy dialing in. He's in Augusta this morning. He's on line three to talk with us about tax fairness. Garrett, it's our WVOMFM.com question of the day. We're asking our listeners, do you consider Maine's tax policies to be fair? Well, Garrett, what do you make? Do you think Maine's tax policies are fair?
Well, we're moving in the right direction. You know, with the end of the last legislative session, Maine really achieved an important milestone in tax fairness. And that milestone was that we're now one of five states, starting in 2020, where the bottom 40%, or people who earn less than $36,000 in income, will actually be paying less per dollar in state and local taxes than the top 1%. And that is one measure of tax fairness. And at least on that measure, we're starting to fare a little better.
All right, we're going to try to wrap our mind around this. This is pretty wonky. But you can use me and George as an example. George, you know that little guy that's got all the money in Monopoly?
Yeah.
That's George.
Yeah.
And when you play Monopoly and you see the guy that's got his pockets pulled out, he's got nothing in him, that's me.
There you go, Rick.
So don't you believe that story.
So what you're telling us right now, Garrett, is that because we had heard during the LePage administration that they made it so the lowest, what, like, was it 70,000 didn't have to pay taxes at all anymore in some categories?
Well, now let's unpack that a little bit. Please. They did change the income tax so that 70,000 people were basically didn't have to pay income taxes. But at the same time that they did that, the other taxes went up, sales tax, property taxes. And those taxes, it turns out, are the ones that actually hit low and moderate income people harder. So, you know, you've got your limited income, you're looking at your empty pockets, but you've got to go buy groceries. You know, you got to have a place to live. And so those taxes are the ones that actually probably are going to take more out of your pocket than income taxes. You know, it's the wealthy people who tend to pay more of their taxes come out of income taxes. And, you know, that's the whole point of having this sort of three-legged stool of sales tax, property tax, and income tax, is that there's a recognition that we pay them differently depending on where we are on the income ladder. And so one tool that we have to assure that balance is achieved between what the wealthiest are paying and what the lowest income folks are paying is through the income tax. And so, you know, the way it was before is even with those changes that happened under the LePage administration, folks like you, Rick, were still paying a greater share of your income. So per dollar, you were paying more in state and local taxes than someone at the top. And in some states, it was even worse. I mean, states like Washington State and Florida, you know, the bottom 20% of households actually paid 12 times more than the top 1% in taxes. So what that means is if, you know, you paid $12, if George pays, you know, $2 in taxes per $100 that he earns, you would actually be paying $24 in taxes per $100 that you earn.
That's not what we heard. We keep hearing that the top 1% pays like 80% of all the taxes in our nation.
Well, first of all, we're talking about the state tax code here.
Okay, all right.
And in terms of the state tax code, what was happening before is that people in the top 1% were paying the lowest share of their income. And let's make a difference here, too, because you're right, Rick, in that, you know, people who earn more because they earn more, it means that they're contributing more dollars in total to these investments that we make in the future. But when you talk to most people about what would constitute a fair tax code, most people will say, well, if I'm paying, you know, 20 cents on the dollar in taxes, so should the next guy. You know, so if I'm down here earning $36,000 a year and you're telling me, you know, I've got to pay 40 cents on the dollar while that guy over there who's earning $300,000 a year is only paying 2 cents on the dollar, well, that just doesn't seem right. And so I think that is one measure of tax fairness. And at least what we have done in Maine is we have made significant progress by assuring that folks on the lower end of the income ladder, folks who are earning less than $36,000 a year, are not in that situation. They're paying effectively a similar amount, if not a little bit less now, than what the top 1% are in terms of their share of income towards taxes. And that's an important measure, because, and it's important for two things. One is, again, when we talk about tax fairness, most people agree that changing the upside-down nature of the tax code means that those who benefit the most from the economy ultimately contribute proportionally to investments that ensure sort of the future. But the other part of this that's so important is that for the families who are earning less than $36,000 a year, again, the bottom 40% of households, these changes that occurred at the state level, the increasing the earned income tax credit, some changes to the property tax fairness credit, and changes to the homestead exemption, mean that those families at the end of the year when they file their income taxes, and this is an important piece of this, you have to file your income taxes to reap some of these benefits, could get as much as $700, $800 back towards their, you know, their household income. And that's huge for a lot of these families. You know, that's the difference between filling up your boiler or getting a major car repair done or those kinds of things. And so, you know, there's additional economic benefits to that, but more importantly, there are direct benefits to the households that need it most.
So, yeah, we often get confused between the federal laws and the state laws and the numbers. This tax fairness came because of what the Maine legislature did. And we know that the federal tax code gets changed over and over and over again. In the case of the federal tax code, people get a larger benefit in the top 1% than the bottom 80% combined. That's also true, correct?
Yes.
So what we've done here, I know that some people have been working on a Working Families Tax Relief Act. I don't know where that is. But at least it's good news here in Maine. We're trying to get a little more money into our pockets. I buy that.
Yeah, no, you know, ultimately what we're trying to do is we are trying to assure that we have a tax code that does two things. The first is that it asks people to pay proportionately at least a similar amount, if not those who are wealthier to pay slightly more than those at the bottom. So as your ability to pay taxes goes up, you are expected to pay as much, if not slightly more, than what everybody else is paying. The other piece...
So let me jump in. So why is that fair?
Why is that fair?
Yeah.
Well...
But because you just talked about the importance of I should pay just as much as George, but you right. just said that if you've been successful because of your decisions and the risks that you've taken, you should pay more. Shouldn't it be like 10% for George and 10% for me? Wouldn't that be fair?
So there are a couple of different measures of fairness, Rick, and one is certainly that if we look at how much you're paying in state and local taxes, and we look at how much George is paying in state and local taxes, and we're not just talking income taxes, we're talking sales taxes and property taxes. If you guys are sort of at level, if you're both paying about 10% each or whatever the number is, then that certainly would be viewed as fair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reality is we haven't even been close to that measure for at least 25, 30 years. So we've made progress in that department. Now, to your second point, I would argue that, yes, a fairer tax system is one that actually asks people who have benefited the most from our economy. And, yes, there is a component of their success that is based on individual initiative, individual choices. But think of a company like Amazon, for instance, that relies on public roads that are the result of public investments that we have collectively made to assure that they can move their products to consumers. Well, you know what? They're reaping a tremendous benefit on the backs of investments that, you know, my forefathers and your forefathers have made in the very structures on which this economy is built. And so because of their success and because part of that success is based in part on the public investments that that past generations made to pay it forward to future generations, they similarly have an obligation to assure that they're paying their fair share. And the reality is, if you look at our national tax code, even if you look at our state tax code in certain areas of the tax code, we still have a scenario in which those who are benefiting the most, those who are having the most profitable corporations – are not contributing their fair share. And in this case, we're not even talking about being at a proportional level. We're talking about, beyond a proportional level, we're talking about even just at a proportional level. I mean, 60 of the largest companies in the United States, for instance, paid little or no corporate taxes last year. And those are companies that, again, their success is based in part on the infrastructure that you and I have all contributed to assure that, you know, whether we want to have strong communities or a strong economy, we've agreed these are the investments we need to make in order to do that. And that takes me to the second part of our tax code. Fairness is one piece. The other piece is making sure it's adequate. It's making sure we're actually securing the resources to invest in our schools, to invest in our communities, you know, maintaining our roads, our clean water system, our parks, and those kinds of things. And that is an area where we definitely need to do more work, particularly at the state level as we look forward.
Okay, the policies that have been enacted are moving us to a fairer tax system, but still the man or woman in the middle of the income tax division will continue to pay a higher share, right?
That is correct right now.
So how do we help the vast majority in the middle?
Yep, there is. Luckily, Maine is in a much better shape than most states. Our if you look at what folks in the middle are paying, it is slightly more, and that is something that certainly we've got our eye on and want to think about ways we can help address that. But the reality is, you know, again, if you look overall at this combination of having a fair tax code and having an adequate tax code, one way to address the discrepancy between what the folks in the middle are paying and what the folks at the top are paying is, and to address the need for additional revenue to make sure we're funding our schools and local services, is actually by bumping up slightly what the richest taxpayers are paying. And in doing so, you will do two things. One is you will balance the tax code. You will address that sort of upside-down aspect for the folks in the middle that you've referenced, George. And you'll make sure that you're raising enough revenue to fund the schools and to fund local services at the level that Maine people and the legislature itself, through its own policies, has said we should be funding.
And where will that money come from?
There are a variety of sources that you could get that money from. You know, one is there's the estate tax is something that certainly people have talked about. We have businesses that prosper in Maine who are supposed to pay taxes that actually sequester a lot of that money in what are called offshore tax havens. And so there are ways to shut down those tax havens and make sure that those folks are paying their fair share. And then there's a whole host of other sort of approaches that one can take. You know, for years we've talked about increasing taxes paid by tourists. I think we've done that to some extent. You know, there's closing the loopholes like the estate tax and the tax havens. And then, there's considering some additional changes to our income tax code to continue to make sure it's progressive and that folks at the top are paying their fair share.
So if somebody wants to read the tax brief that you've, I think Sarah Austin wrote it, the policy brief for fair taxes, how do they get a copy of it?
Sure, it's available on our website, which is www.mecep.org, and you know they'll be able to get that brief and hopefully make heads or tails a little bit more clearly of some of the things I've tried to convey this morning. You're right, tax policy can get pretty thick pretty quick, and I apologize if I started people's mornings off with a snooze alarm.
We get wonky all the time, and this is what's terrific is we're having a conversation. We're not just getting a lesson, and it's not an interview.
Yeah.
Interviews
yeah.
are boring. People like to eavesdrop on conversations.
That's right.
Let us ask, in our final minutes here, give us once again the website where someone can go to and read Sarah's report.
Sure. It's www.mecep.org. .org.
All right, Gary
That's
Martin.
The Maine Center for Economic Policy.
Before we go, we got about a minute here. What state in our nation, in the opinion of Sarah and you, Garrett, and the Maine Center for Economic Policy, what state, maybe the District of Columbia should be lumped in there, Puerto Rico too, maybe, what state is getting tax fairness right, in your opinion?
You know, you look at the five other states that are sort of in a similar boat to us, and I would say those are places where their tax policies are closer to sort of where we would want to be. I can't give you all of them off the top of my head, but certainly the District of Columbia is one, but Delaware is another. I believe Minnesota is one. I think even New York may be sort of moving in that direction. So there are models, and honestly, if people really want to go deep on this stuff, there's a great national organization called the Institute on Taxation Economic Policy. They produce tables for every state, each state in the District of Columbia to highlight how their tax code pans out depending on where you are on the income ladder. And if you look at that, you will see Maine stacks up pretty well. But there are certainly some states that are in a better position, and then there are states that are completely out of whack. And I think we need to look at those states and make sure that that's not the direction we're moving in. So I think it's more that we learn the cautionary tale at this point, because we seem to be on the right side of this particular issue.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.